Hi, it's Manuel. I'm coming to you from Rimini, the train station here in Italy, where I'm about to get on a bus. Let me explain. I'm in a train station because I bought the train ticket for tomorrow, where I'm going to Rome. Which, by the way, is the first time I've ever been to that city. I find that astounding. But I'm actually going to walk across the street to get on a bus to go to another country. And I'll let her finish her speech first. There we go. I'm going to another country, actually the oldest republic in the world. You may not have even heard of it. San Marino is a very tiny country, about the size of the Stony Brook campus. And I'm heading there by bus because there's no train that goes there. There was a train, but apparently World War II destroyed it or something. So this is going to be my third trip to a very tiny country. I've been to Monaco, I've been to Andorra. Well, I've been to Brooklyn, too, but I guess that doesn't really count. But I still have Vatican City to go, which technically is also a country. And I think that only leaves Liechtenstein. There's Luxembourg, but Luxembourg is a giant compared to those countries. It's incredible to me how easily you can get around without knowing the language. In fact, I strive for this. I strive to go to various cities and not know a single word. Well, I know a few words, like yes, no, please don't do that, get away from me, stop, that kind of stuff. It's good to know that, but as far as more complex things, I find it works just as well to point and smile. You sort of develop your own language that way, and it's kind of cool to be able to communicate. Without knowing a thing. Hopefully find this bus. I only have about 10 minutes to figure it out. I'm sure I will. I'll actually be communicating from a whole different country in only about an hour, I guess. Wish me luck.
Well, I seem to have made it to San Marino. I'm standing in the window of the small hotel I'm staying in, right in the middle of town. And as you can hear, the streets below are just completely filled with tourists walking up and down. And when I say walking up and down, I literally mean walking up and down. This is probably the hilliest place I've ever seen. Simply walking a block will take all the wind out of you, especially if you're carrying bags like I was. I'm just lucky that this hotel is nearby where the bus dropped us off. It's quite a scenic place. When you stand on by the side of the road, you can simply see what looks like the entire country of Italy. We are so very high up into the mountains, and this country has been here. It claims to be the oldest republic in the world, founded, I believe, in the year 301. So that certainly makes it older than the States. Not very big as far as actual land mass, but it is bigger than the State University at Stony Brook. I was exaggerating a bit then, but it's certainly not an extremely big country. They have a football team, though. They have a soccer team that actually has the guts to play in the World Cup qualifiers every now and then. I don't think they've scored a goal in about 10 years, though. Or won a game for that matter. Don't quote me on that, though. I'm not entirely sure. I know they have not gotten very far, though. The fact that they can actually muster enough people to play in international competition is beyond me. The top-level domain here is .sm. What that means is that if you have an internet address, it should end in .sm. In fact, I'm using the internet right now, and where I'm coming from ends in .sm. I was looking at the requirements for registering a top-level domain here in San Marino, and it's rather frustrating because, well, you have to be a citizen of San Marino, and you have to be able to prove that. And that's tough right there if you're not a citizen. And then you have to show your papers, and you can register your last name .sm. And I was thinking, you know, wouldn't it be great if I could find somebody in this place with the last name of, oh, I don't know, say Turi, T-O-U-R-I, because then they can register the website tourism .sm at the end, or capitalism, or commune. There's all sorts of possible words here, and it even sounds like an Italian name. So maybe I'll just wander around, see if I can find somebody with that name, and we could go in on it together and have a really popular website. But, you know, these things never seem to work out for whatever reason. Maybe somebody listening knows someone who's a citizen of San Marino, and well, then if you do, you don't really need me, do you? Well, whatever. It's an interesting concept, to say the least. So this is one of the smallest countries I've ever been in. I'm going to wander around a bit outside, walk down the narrow streets. Really very picturesque, but extremely hilly and hard to walk up and down. Well, I'm going to try it without bags now. It's probably going to be a lot easier. But, of course, there isn't as much oxygen here because you're very high up into the sky. Well, I made it out of San Marino, no problem. Quite a place, though. I really recommend it for anybody who wants to see something a little bit unusual. Well, the only problem was it was crowded with tourists all the time and screaming babies that would not stop. I don't know if it's because of the high mountain air or what exactly, but they were incessant. But I did something really strange. I went out at about 1 o'clock in the morning and just walked around the streets, and it was the most incredible contrast to what I had been through earlier in the day. I did not see a single person. I walked outside for maybe about 20-25 minutes. Did not see one person, did not hear one sound. It was like a ghost town. I loved it. It's incredible. I totally recommend anybody who goes to San Marino do that. Just go outside at night. I was worried that there was a curfew or something because there was just absolutely no sound anywhere. It was sort of like the village in The Prisoner. Just like weirdness that I couldn't quite understand. Anyway, I've made it to Rome. Not much to see here as far as I can see. Doesn't look like a very historical place or anything like that, just another city. So I'll probably just spend some time in the hotel here and not really go out much, and later on head over to the hacker thing in Pisa. Well, I've made it to yet another country. I am standing right now in the tiny city-state of Vatican City, which is where the Pope hangs out and various other religious things go on. It's right smack in the middle of Rome, so it's kind of weird. It's inside Rome, but it's a different country. I'm not quite sure how that works. Just went into St. Peter's Basilica. That's quite an impressive building, I got to say. Huge. It's on forever. I actually climbed all the way up to the top. Well, actually, not exactly climbed all the way up to the top. I wanted to climb all the way. They have a deal where I think it's like 360 steps you have to climb after you get off the elevator, or if you feel like it, you can take 200 steps in addition to that instead of the elevator and save yourself €2. And I wanted to do that, except they told me that the elevator closed after a certain time. I mean, the staircase closed after a certain time, and I had to take the elevator. Seems like a bit of a scam. I don't know how staircases can close, but wound up having to take the elevator and then climbing 360 or so stairs, which actually was quite an ordeal, mostly because the stairs were so tightly wound together, I got dizzy just climbing up into this narrow little tower with 1,000 other tourists. So maybe it was the best thing for me to not take the other 200 steps in addition. I don't know. So this is the third country I've been to in the last few days, San Marino, Italy, and now Vatican City. And I guess it pretty much leaves only one tiny country in Europe for me to go to, which is Liechtenstein. And I'm actually using a phone that has a Liechtenstein phone number on it, so I feel like I've almost been there. Obviously, it's not the same thing. So the next stop after this will be Pisa, which is where the hacker event is taking place. And I expect that'll be a very interesting place as well. Yeah,
they don't kid around with the bells here either. They're serious and they ring those church bells. That was just 6:30 ringing there. It sounded really spectacular for 6:30. I think I've never heard the sound quite as nice as that. I think what they did there was they preceded the bells with the half-hour mark. In San Marino, they did the opposite. They had the bells, and then they would strike a little bell once for a quarter after, twice for half past, and three times for 45 minutes past, which I've never actually heard that before. I think it's kind of cool. You always know exactly what time it is, unless you're so screwed up you can't tell the difference between AM and PM. It's nice for people to know what time it is. But, of course, they stop at night, which is, I guess, a good thing. You don't want to be hearing clock chiming every 15 minutes when you're trying to get to sleep. But it's still kind of cool. Everywhere in Europe you hear church bells ringing. And if religion has brought nothing else to us, at least they've brought us church bells. I think that's something worthy of note. All right, on to Pisa.
All right, so we have the current issue of La Nazione.
La Nazione of Pisa. And
in English, that would spell Nazi 1. The way it's spelled, I never realized that before. It's La Nazi 1, but obviously in Italian it's pronounced differently. La Nazione.
Nazione. It is the nation. It's a daily newspaper of Pisa and surrounding.
And there's also a daily newspaper for the Communist Party, correct?
No.
The Communist Party is right there, as I saw it.
Manifesto.
Manifesto, yes.
Of course. Yeah. Manifesto, but it's not of the National, the Communist Party. The Communist Party does not exist anymore.
Oh, so what is it?
And Manifesto never was is a Communist newspaper.
Oh, it's a Communist newspaper, but not for the Communist Party.
Exactly. The daily newspaper of the Communist Party was Unita, Unity, that it still exists.
So these are just, freelancing communists that don't belong to a party?
More or less, yes, we can say that.
Okay, maybe I will. So now we're looking at La Nazione for the Saturday edition, Saturday, September 29th.
Yep.
And I understand www.lanazione.it. I'm sorry for saying it that way, but that's the way our listeners will be able to understand. And basically, there's a story in there that really should not be in there today, is that right?
But yesterday, a journalist of the newspaper came and make a short interview with someone.
Came here to the camp, to the meeting, the hacker meeting.
Yeah, that's happening in Pisa. And during the interview, they sell him a story interesting, and they buy it. And the story says that there is the regime in Birmania has blocked the internet using a unattackable virus. And the unattackable virus is called AUX.
Now wait, this is what's going on in Myanmar right now, or Burma. Obviously, a lot of repression happening. The monks are being basically secluded and arrested and beaten and killed. And a journalist came to the meeting here yesterday and was told that there is a virus that the government is using. Mm-hmm. And the virus's name is spelled HOAX, hoax, and they bought the story.
Yeah, exactly. They bought, they published, and apparently they buy it. That the virus is used by the Malaysian government to make internet unavailable, and they say that there are a virus that cannot be blocked by antivirus because it's produced by private technology. And they say that the virus is an equivalent of a digital weapon, and that the regime of Myanmar is using that virus to not allow the computers to work.
So, okay, now this article obviously is in Italian. Do the letters HOAX appear in the article?
Oh, yeah.
Wait,
sure.
Can you point to it? Oh my God! There it is. It's small letters. It looks like it's just the word hoax, but actually, that's the name of the virus, according to the newspaper.
Yeah, it's a name that is a series of viruses born after 2006, named hoax. This particular virus is named Lulz. Lulz. L-U-L-Z.
Lulz. L-U-L-Z. Oh my God. Wow. So, okay, what do you think the point of bringing a poor journalist here and lying to him and making a fool out of him What do you think the point of that was?
But first of all, we did not bring the journalist here. He came alone, you know, in his own purpose, and he made a bigger article on the ACT meeting.
Oh, it was another article on the meeting itself?
Yeah, but the same name.
Is it a good article?
Pretty vague. No, it's not a good article from the title. It's,
oh, I see my name in there, Manuel Goldstein. What, Esperto de Hacking y de Social Engineering, Exponente de la F, Electronic Frontier Foundation. Now, what in God's name did I just say?
Which is not exactly. But this error has been made, we know, that from another newspaper. Mm-hmm. So probably this journalist has copied the other article. And he make the same mistake. That's a good idea, to give some fake information to journalists so we can trace, so we can follow how they share information.
What's the fake information that's in here?
But you're not an exponent of Electronic Frontier Foundation.
I'm a what of Electronic Frontier Foundation?
You're a part of Electronic Frontier Foundation.
Oh, they're saying I'm a part of the EFF?
Yeah.
Interesting.
You're an exponent of. You're the representant.
I'm the president of EFF?
The representant. The a prominent member.
I'm a prominent member of EF. Wow, that's, I'll have to show that to them. Maybe I'll get like a good parking space or something.
Some sticker.
What's this Rebeldia mean?
The Rebeldia is the name of the place at the hostas.
I see. Okay. And this is a squad, is it not?
Yeah, this is a squad.
That's amazing. So basically, it's just kind of occupied by, what did you say, 1,000 hackers now?
My opinion, there were, yeah, more than 1,000 in doing the 3 days. Today is the third day. And tonight it will be more people, like Scott.
When I'm giving my talk, that'll be when the most people will be here.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get out. Wow, so that's fascinating. Is this the first time this kind of thing has happened with a newspaper?
But the relation with the newspapers has always been delicate, because at the beginning they are not welcome with cameras or with TVs. Unless they ask to people if they want to be shoot. And sometimes it happens, sometimes they do not. They simply showed up and they pretend to take picture without asking. It happened in the past and I was not very comfortable with it. So we try to block the journalists at the entry, to to bring them inside, not alone, to not let them know. Also, for the nature of this ACT meeting, there's no representant of the ACT meeting. So everybody who speaks about the ACT meeting, he speaks in his own idea.
So there's no hierarchy, there's no leader?
No.
Who's this picture of in the article? I see somebody standing with a computer keyboard.
But it's a guy with a sun hat and with a keyboard. He looks right on the camera. He looks a little...
What does the caption say about him?
Internet. Beginning yesterday will end tomorrow. ACT meeting 2007.
The internet will be will end tomorrow? Is that what they mean by that?
I don't think so, but the internet is probably the subject for them. And it's the same author of the other article.
I think I saw him coming in yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he come in the same time we did, the guy with glasses?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember somebody saying he's with Nation.
Exactly.
Wow. Anyway, poor guy had no idea what he was in for.
Mm. He deserved it, apparently.
Amazing. So, Danielle, you spent lots of time in New York, as well as obviously here in Italy. Do you think something like this could ever happen in New York?
It's happened, but not the same nature. Here, the strange thing is that everybody brings his own... experience in a autonomous way. Let's say that, for example, the cooking have been... there were a seminar called Hack the Bread, where they build bread. And
build bread?
They build bread. Yeah, from scratch.
Awesome. Yeah, we've never done that at Hope. We've never made bread from scratch.
But also, the atmosphere is very cool, but the fact that we can drink alcohol inside and using computers and eating, that make us kind of mayhem that in other places of the world would be probably degenerating. Like,
well, we wouldn't know how to handle that in the States. Eating, using computers, drinking. No, it's too much for us to handle.
Yeah. And here it works. So everybody's happy, everybody drinks. There are some people drunk, do not bother other people. They simply go around chatting.
I was warned about coming to Italy because people here are kind of like anarchists. and there's no structure, and anything could happen. And instead, I find it to be one of the most relaxing experiences.
But it should be, in the terms of was told to you, in fact. Yeah, in fact, it is autonomous more than anarchist, I guess.
Cool.
Asking you which are the places you are traveling to during this trip. You went from the USA to Germany.
Well, there were three trips, you see. Mm-hmm. First trip, I went from USA to London, then from London to Amsterdam, from Amsterdam to Germany, and back to New York, then after New York over to Malaysia, and then Singapore, then back to New York, and then over to Vienna, and now down to Rome and Pisa, and then back to New York, and then I'm going to Brazil.
I call it globe-trotting.
It's madness is what it is, because I keep getting invited to conferences now.
Hmm.
So I can't very well say no.
Your brain is working a lot to adapt yourself to the different time zones.
It's working too much, yeah, because not only the time zones, but just the different cultures and food. And
now, in the next week, there is the PACSEC in Austria.
It's another one?
It's a security conference organized by Taipo of Team Teso.
It sounds corporate.
It's possible.
Yeah. I try to avoid the corporate ones. I think they're boring.
I fully understand. Info security, black hat, stuff like that, crappy. A friend of mine this week was in Seattle after the Microsoft Blue Hat Conference.
Blue Hat?
Yeah, the Blue Hat Conference is a private meeting that Microsoft organized each year until 2 years. There was guys like Holly Whitehouse, guys from large corporations like Tipping Point, in order for their strategy to attempt to contain the security risk context they get from the underground. Just think about the
security through obscurity.
It's different. They are buying the security professional of all the underground. Just think that they made a sponsorship for the PH Neutral, the private meeting in Germany organized by FX of Phenolith and in companion with the guys of CCC. And they made all the sponsorship for the meeting, but only with one agreement. No 0 day need to be released during the conference. So every speaker was allowed to present everything but not a 0 day on a Microsoft product. And this is a condition that they pose to each kind of conference, also to the Hack in the Box. If you look at the sponsor of a security conference across the world in the last 2 years, when Microsoft started working with a clear strategy on the underground, in all security conferences, even the most underground and private one, there is Microsoft as sponsor. Why? Also, they got, for example, they are hiring, and they already hired important takers group like Last Stage of Delirium. Those guys was got from Poland, came in Seattle in the U.S., and now they are working full-time, dedicated on working on bug hunting and stuff like that, for example. And they are hiring really a lot of takers. And there are also a lot of, let me say, freelancers that start doing security research and build-up companies only to start releasing in full disclosure with Microsoft, so getting paid, getting contract indirectly from Microsoft, because Microsoft is a partner of every large bank and whatever, because they spend a bank spent $1 million in licenses. And so they say, okay, you made full disclosure, you agree with me, all the release, all the patching and stuff like that. I will provide you in consultancy $1 million of consultancy. No issue. I choose the vendor that my customer has to trust. This is one of the strategies of Microsoft, for example.
So money is basically dictating what happens.
Yes, this is their winning strategy. They have the internal revenue of I don't know which country. I remember that a country have an internal economic production which is the same of Microsoft, so they can pay whatever they want. But now the real issue is that they are buying the underground slowly. And if you just look at the statistics, in the last 2 years, when they started working also with the underground strategies, there was no release of in full disclosure without notificating the vendor of a Microsoft vulnerability. No one. Why? Not because people are not finding bugs, but because Microsoft are paying people that find bugs. It's quite different.
So if Microsoft came up to you and offered you $1 million to sell out the underground, what would you do?
If Microsoft is going to me to do stuff like that, I think that I will try to be hired, ask for the source code, and say, yeah, I need it for auditing and stuff like that, and then, oh, someone got my PC, I lost my portable computer, and now the Windows source code and Office source code, it's on a mule. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. I like that. Do you think most Italian hackers would agree?
I don't know. It depends on the people. There is plenty of different hackers, you know. There are a lot of different hackers with a lot of different experience and knowledge. So.
But Italian hackers seem very different from almost any other country I've been to. Do you agree?
Yes. I agree in the sense that in CCC, I talked a lot with people from different countries. It was my first experience with a little trained English, let me say. I see that, for example, in CCC, they are much more organized, very well structured. They see, however, as a point of aggregation, the CCC, so everyone in some way or another contribute to the CCC. In Italy, it's a completely different story. In the U.S., the same. When you was drunk, too, I asked you about the USA underground environment. You told me about...
What did I say?
Yeah, you said that the American underground environment is very fragmented.
I'd say that even if I wasn't drunk. Yeah, it's true.
Mm. The same is for Italy. But you are 400 million, which is... How
foreign
many,
what?
How many people there are in the U.S.?
What, total people? 300 million?
300 million. In Italy we are 50 million, so it's a very big fragmentation. I think that putting together all the acres of the USA, we can build up a new spectre for 007 secret agents. We got this idea this morning. We build up a list of all the Myanmar registered host name, a list of all the government agency and their related domain websites of the Myanmar military government, a list of all the block, the network block that are for the Myanmar. Now we would like to build up a wiki anonymously. I see. You understand? A wiki where to put all the targets and a mission, and then post to full disclosure anonymously, obviously. An announcement to say global hacker of the world. Let's disrupt the Myanmar ICT infrastructure. Who cares in during this month that all the public opinion of all the world is against the Myanmar? Let's attack it and see what will happen. Even if right now you cannot reach almost any Myanmar server because they completely cut off the internet connection of the countries, in order to avoid the activists to publish on blogs information, send photos of what's happening inside. But officially they state, a submarine cable was broken. What can we do?
I understand they used the hoax virus to do this.
The hoax virus is an idea from that guy.
You did this? You did the hoax virus? That's awesome.
Oh, the ox in the national paper.
Yeah. They must be very angry with you right now.
Oh, I'm not very angry.
No, they must be angry because you made them look like idiots.
Of course. they look as idiots, and is for sure.
Did it go beyond that one newspaper? Did it go on television or internationally?
No, we wish only this newspaper take this fake notice, and the other newspaper should blame this newspaper for him, for his error.
Uh-huh. So do you think they know now that that article was a hoax?
Maybe, because the word hoax and the word loot is really detectable from people who understand about technology or about the internet life. And if you write these two words in a search engine, the first answer is a trolling, is an hoax, is a joke. It's obvious that yesterday the journalist...
Journalist.
The journalist...
Put that in quotes.
The journalist don't want to work and make only a cut and paste of my email in the article for the newspaper.
How is it this guy, as a journalist, couldn't like see the word hoax or the word lulls and know that there was something going on?
Probably they was simply they didn't know English.
But these aren't really English words; they're universal all throughout the internet.
Universal for us that attend the
we live in internet.
But if you don't, if I ask to my father, what's a hoax? He say.
I don't know.
But your father's not writing about technology for millions of people, is he?
For some people, this should be a beginning because other newspapers should take this fake notice. But in our opinion, the fake notice is so full and so plain that it's obvious another newspaper should ignore it because it's fake.
Cool. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Well done.
For fun, always.
Yes. It's inspirational to the rest of the world, I think. So your name is Odo?
Yeah, my name is Odo. I'm known as Odo.
O-D-O?
O-D-O, yeah.
Is it like the Star Trek character?
Pardon?
Do you know the Star Trek character?
Yes, he's my son because he came a thousand years after me.
A thousand years after? Yeah. Oh, actually, yeah, of course, it's told in the future.
In the future, so I'm...
But when the show actually came out, who was first?
The first Odo was an anarchist, or a character from Ursula Le Guin book.
Oh, I guess that wins.
It was a strange planet who divided in two parts. Part of the people followed this person, Odo, a female, and went to a different planet, and they started growing in a... In a different lifestyle rather than the planets were Uras and Aranis, and I don't know the English title of the book. In any case, Odo is just a short form of my surname, my real surname.
Are you a shapeshifter?
Shapeshifter? No, not yet. But I'm on diet, so I think I will get slimmer and slimmer. I've lost. Kilos here. And
speaking of diets and food, we were talking yesterday about food, and that's the Italian method of doing things. And you're a cook, and you make food all the time. And I believe you grow food too.
No, I work with a computer with a big company. But in any case, I enjoy food, and we love as a culture to use food as a way of expression. For instance, we have some in Italy. We can spend half an hour at home preparing a pasta. We prefer having it done with the original thing. I mean, tomatoes and pasta and onions and bacon, etc. It is very nice also because everybody have his own personal recipe, and they can give, can spread, can suggest. There are 10 different. Way of cooking, basic way of cooking.
Ten basic ways of cooking.
There are 10 or 20 activities in the kitchen. I mean, the way of chopping chopping vegetable, the way of boiling something in an oven or on a pan, etc. And you can combine them with... something strange that I've seen is that people who came home, for instance, I have some foreign guests, they said, what will you cook for us? And it is really easy, because I open the fridge. From what I have in the fridge, it is easy to make a pan with oil, put there some vegetable. If I have some tomato juice over it, all together with the pasta, and it is anyway, I have eggs, I will use eggs. It is the easiest way is to mix everything and have however a valid food. Here in the in this ACK meeting, we had in the morning the bread seminar with
bread building.
The bread building, a way to take to have 20 nerds in a world in front of some floor, some water, some and the other. Salt and lievito. Oh yeah, lievito.
Yeast.
and then we prepared, we mixed him. Doing this, there was in the beginning a conference that was explaining that the bread we used to buy, it is now made with more chemical things, more grease, more fats in there, more. More ingredients that will make it standard, as standard as possible. But bread is as different as it can, because it comes from different cultural areas and have different way of being done. The German bread, or the bread in South America, or tortillas, because it is mixed by what they have there. In this case, 20 person mixed their flour and have a bowl of bread. And now this is being put in the oven, and later we will have our bread done. It is something that is really easy, and everybody can have its own personal recipe and suggest and mix and do with the way they want. For instance, we had and we have to continue in Italy. Another nice project that is the Crypto Kitchen. Crypto Kitchen is Crypto Kitchen. It was started by a mother that have some a nerd mother that have his young boy at school, and they said, okay, if it is my right to send my receipt to a friend, to give my receipt to a friend, but I can protect them with cryptography, because I cover it, because it's my right to send the cover data, the receipt for a cake. And then she started teaching to the mother, to the other mother of the same class, and they started swapping a receipt, the favorite receipt, using encrypted mail. Because it's as easy as sending an email, but it is your right to send an encrypted email of a receipt. Later, a number of nerds started joining the group, being the tester, and starting cooking and suggesting their variation of the receipt. The next step that was partially done by the guy of the hoax virus was to encrypt the text of the receipt into the image with a steganography, in the photograph of the image of the food. So you have an image for the photo. You see how it will appear, and if you get out the text of the file, you will also have the receipt.
This is one protected recipe.
Yeah, it's and the way is it is we are free and we want to swap a recipe this way of cooking.
But you don't want the NSA to see it.
We hope NSA will enjoy our food, and if
they can't if you're encrypted and hide it in steganography.
They can ask to enroll in the list, and they will give them the way to make a good eggplant pasta.
But it seems to mean so much more here than, say, in America, as far as the time you take preparing something, the ingredients you use. We were in a delicatessen yesterday, and we got into a 20-minute discussion with the clerk as to where the pig came from. apparently in some hills, if the pig comes from there, it's saltier than other places. And he knew all about this. He knew everything about where the pig came from, how he was brought up, what what kind of life he had before he was slaughtered. And it's just, we could never have something like that in the States, not normally anyway.
No, it is really important for us also because it's a way of checking the local culture. Something that, for instance, the critical wine, and with the critical wine, that is a way of knowing directly the winery that is providing you and go visit there. Or, for instance, in some of the pub I go, they used to know personally the person who grow, to make the cheese or to make everything, because we need a bigger contact. We needed to pay them directly. For instance, milk is on a shop 5 times the price it is paid to the man who owns the cow. And the problem is, well, I'd rather pay him enough for having his farm, rather than buying something have been mixed, chemically checked, etc. So even for greengrocer, even for all sorts of food, we love our food. In Italy we have 300 different sort of cheese. That enough, and we are proud of this. Some of them are becoming illegal.
Illegal cheese?
Yeah, they are becoming illegal cheese. For instance, because for tradition and the specific flavor is done because they are held in a cave. But this is not clean for the EEC, and so the law say we forbid you to place cheese within bacteria. But they are the bacteria that make it. That make it good. Also, for instance, there was a suggestion to make Italian pizza, the one you tasted, illegal. Italian pizza is different from the one you have in New York because we use a wood oven, and you have seen that is a different product from I don't mean sbarro, I mean a pizza you can get there. They said that because it is near carbon, this can intoxicate it, and this can be dangerous to health. So the suggestion is to have all pizzerias to have electric oven. But you have seen a pizza that is different from the one sat in front of you, and it is have a different way of being cooked all around. And this is because of the art of the cook. To give you a good pizza, not an electric oven that will start a temperature. This is something we are fighting against.
So do you think the police will ever kick in the doors of people making pizza not the proper way?
I think not police. I think that will be an European directive will force us to close or to change this. For instance, the last ECHA meeting in Parma was held 1 year ago, was held in the city that is the seat of the European Food Commission. And the problem is that if they declare something illegal, they will start a directive. And the directive means that in a few years will be law in any state. This could be a problem for Italian pizza rather than something else in France or some other typical food in Great Britain, because they say this is not safe the way you do it. But if I want to eat that sort of cheese or lard, there is one of the most beloved lard in Italy is called Lardo di Colonnata. And it is going to be illegal because it is held in a cave in concrete recipients.
Can you hook me up with some of this before it gets illegal, or even after it gets illegal?
I will try to provide you some of them. I hope to. I think that attaching.
We can meet behind the building.
Yeah, but I think that attaching them to an email when you will be back will be useless.
I'll have it here.
I'll have it in the evening.
That sounds good. That sounds good. Yeah. Now, you were in New York for the Last Hope conference.
Yes. I visited the Last Hope conference. I loved it. It was really, really nice. It is a different way of the meeting you are visiting now, and I hope you also will enjoy the show and the event. This is less formal. We have not bought a skyscraper in the Sixth Avenue. This is a squat, but I think that the same sort of friendship. I mean, people that come to Murek meeting will start getting relation with all of them. And in this single meeting, there are a number of group or local association or interest group. And so, in a case or the other, we are all relation among us. So I think that this is a way to gather in a single place, have a lot of nice time, have good food, going out and have a tour in a different city.
Sometimes
and
good drugs, sometimes.
This maybe could be more specific to the Hall and the Hex and the other Northern Europe experience. But in any case, I think that this is a way to enforce the relation among us. Also because if a problem appears to one of the group, for instance, a local trouble, then automatically we'll start immediately a relation among all the among all Italy. So if there is a place that is going to be, a squat that is going to be lived, automatically most of the people will try to influence or to discuss about this all around Italy. And this, I think, then can be useful.
Cool. We're going to see you at the next hope?
Next year, we don't know where.
July 2008, New York City is the next hope.
I hope that won't be the last hope.
That's the last hope.
I know, unfortunately, I think that something will be done for the... I will be in the last hope, in
Why
the next the hope.
One?
Well, you know, they are going to tear down the hotel. It makes it kind of difficult.
Tirano giù l'hotel.
Ah!
There's a time and a place for everything, and the last hope.
But this is sad also because not just the Hope Conference, that is a three-day event, but also the part of the musician that hotel made the music, mm-hmm. And so it could be more interesting to gather a musician in Madison Square Garden, for instance, or doing some benefit event in the area, just to
save the hotel. It's a very good idea, yeah. And I think what a lot of people don't realize is that well, in New York people say, yeah, it's an old building, who cares, another old building.
No,
but people all over the world, including people such as yourself in Italy, have been to that hotel, know about the history. If all those people got together and signed a petition or just spread the word, it could actually mean something.
Yes, the problem is maybe to get the media on your side and try to... We have good relation with the journalists, so we can...
Not after the hoax virus, I don't think. I think that relationship just plummeted to the ground.
No, but in any case, you should have a committee or something like this to keep the building there. There is not a problem with that building. It is maybe an economical problem.
Well, we should talk further about this, because maybe we should organize something. One final question, when you're in New York, so what do you think of the food there?
I enjoyed most of the food I had in New York, because most of the time I went to a restaurant and I didn't have any typical American food. Quite strange, but I ate Japanese, Thai, Spanish, Vietnamese, Lebanon, etc.
What would you consider to be typical American food?
A typical American food? Sure, I only had one hamburger.
Oh boy. That's it, huh? McDonald's, that's how we get defined.
No, not McDonald's. There is a McDonald's here in Pisa on the side of the railway station, and they say, no, I don't, please not. If you came in Pisa, please don't have an hamburger from McDonald's in a McDonald's shop. Go in the pizzeria in front of it, mm-hmm. and have a pizza.
Yeah.
Completely different, and enjoy the place.
Thanks, Otto, for talking to us.
Okay.
We'll see you in New York.
Sure.
Save the hotel.
It's a mission.
All right, we're here with Bambo.
Yeah, hello.
And you're one of the main organizers of this event, right?
Well, that's a bit wrong, because in our philosophy there are no organizers, but just participants. So there is no users and organizers, but all the people is invited by the mailing list discussions and all the meetings we have during the year. to come and bring what they expect to see in the ACT meeting. So everybody is part of the organization somehow, and so the little entropy you can see is also the lack of organization that sometimes comes out of this philosophy, because people express themselves in several ways, and to make a schedule becomes harder when the workshops comes out in between the land space, and everything is growing, you know, in place, not just announced on the website and then this is it, this is the only plan. Everything can come out during the ACT meeting.
So tell us something about this space that is being held in right now. Where did it come from?
This space is a squatted place, which means that some people took it from being closed and start some activities in it, and there is also a nightclub in this place, and so that group said, hey, this year we would host the place for the ACT meeting, and that's what happened every year since 98, in fact. In squats there were ACT clubs, and some people from the ACT club said, this year we are ready to handle all the people coming for the ACT meeting.
How long has this actual space been here?
This space, I think it's kind of a 5 years squatted place now.
You've never been hassled?
This place has been evicted once from the older place, and now since 5 years they are in this place. So it depends on the political situation, and it depends on the interests that are over a place, the fact that they evict you or not. So I can witness some experiences that last 1 week in Milan, because I'm coming from Milan, not from Pisa, and some other experiences that are 25 years old experiences in the same place. So it depends on the interest, basically, and in certain periods also on the strength that we can show. But basically, most of the times it's just their interest.
I'm just trying to put it into perspective for the American audience, because a place like this would be impossible to actually have. I mean, how big is this space, would you say?
Well, I don't know how many square meters, but I guess, how much would it be? I think 1,000 square meters on two floors and an open parking. And there are any kind of places. You have a place for making your bike, and you have a cinema, and you have small rooms for classes of Italian or hacking or whatever. And there's a concert hall for a concert. A restaurant for eating. So all the needs are expressed somehow in the philosophy of being part of the squat scene, and so bringing up some political issues over all the topics that you may experience in your living. So how you move, with bike or not, no oil or yes oil, you choose, and what do you eat, vegan or vegetarian or whatever, or McDonald's. It's up to you, and when you come here, you make a choice.
How many people eat McDonald's here?
It's growing, sadly, but
I mean, inside here, inside.
No, inside here, I guess no, not many. I've last seen it maybe 1 year ago, because I was starving to death, and it was the only place open. I said, okay, just to survive. But normally, I don't go there.
How does electricity work here? Do you pay for electricity, or is it just left on?
For the electricity, I don't know if they pay for it. It depends on the situation. There are some squats that are able to take electricity somewhere and not pay for years, and some other places that choose to pay because they've been called too many times and they need it for their activities, so they decide to make a contract. You can sign for a contract, you can create an association or whatever in order to have this kind of bills to pay.
Is anyone being charged to come into the conference?
Being charged to come to the conference? I guess no.
It's a free conference.
Yes, everything is for free.
That's amazing. I mean, this is something that is so alien to our way of life in the States. Of course, you'd have to charge something. Of course, you'd have to pay rent and pay for electricity, and you couldn't just be here because you wanted to be here. So it's so completely different.
Well, here the only way we collect money is if people for free decide to give some fee when they come in, but they're not obliged, and most of the money comes out of the fact that the people eat something, and so you can have a price for food or for merchandising that will pay all the expenses. I mean, we have the t-shirts of the ACT meeting. Every year it's a bestseller in the place, and it's the thing that lets us have our 3,000 or 4,000 euros for all the organization. And this is the only way.
Do you get many people coming in here that don't have any technical knowledge, are learning for the first time?
Well, depends on which kind of knowledge we are talking about. There is people which is not really an experienced person with a computer, but can teach to the others how to make bread. And so there is a sharing of knowledges which is traversal. It's not
a lot about making bread. That's so important here, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so important. It's getting so expensive. It's getting so worse outside that if you learn how to make it, can be a choice of better living somehow. Because then you have to take your time for making it. You decide to slow living and not being on a rush on a McDonald's for fast food and then go. You're not always producing for others. You're producing for yourself. So you take your time as well.
Do you get many young people?
Yes. There are some young people which I don't know. There are some young guys I've seen already last year. And last year was the first year we've seen plenty of kids coming. And it was the first time in 10 years we decided to squat a place just for the ACT meeting, not to go in a squat already opened by other people and to be hosted somehow. And last year there were a lot of kids coming for this choice we did.
What happens to this space after the ACT meeting? Will it still be here?
Yes, definitely. There will be concerts and any sort of activities as usual. I mean, they're always open in this place.
Well, any advice for hackers in America?
An advice? Well, what can I tell them? Share your knowledges. We all are sharing our knowledges, and it's the only way we can improve and criticize what's the environmental choices we are suffering somehow.
We see you at Hope in 2008?
I'm always out of money, so maybe, who knows? I'm not sure about it, because I'm always without money.
All right, we'll try and raise a fund to get Mambo over to New York City.
Yes, that could be a good choice. Hey, people, are you listening? Send me some money. I will open a PayPal account just for that cause.
Cool, thanks.
You're welcome.
Fatico molto a passare da una condizione di sonno molto protratto a uno stato di veglia totale. Ginnastica mentale. Ginnastica mentale. condizione di sonno molto protratto a uno stato di veglia totale. Ginnastica mentale.